Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. I need to say Happy New Year to all of those of you. Welcome to the year 2020. You've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we're now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. So a Happy New Year to the staff and to the listening audience of WDLP 93.1. You've tuned me in by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM. Or 100.3 FM in the Low Ada area at 8 o'clock. And I need to say to the staff of WION and to all the listening audience, a Happy New Year to each and every one of you. You've tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I need to say to WGLM staff and also to the listening audience of that broadcast time, welcome and God's blessing upon you and a Happy New Year to each and every one of you. By the way, we're streaming WION and WGLM. We're streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. And I need to say a Happy New Year to the staff of Ears Radio and to all the listening audience of News Radio, Ears Radio as well. And those of you that's tuned me in by the way of my website is PastorKenHarger at .com. And then you take messages from the Lighthouse, bring your mouse up over that, and it will say Current Media. Go to Current Media, and it gives you the current message for today and some others as well. And a Happy New Year to those that's listening by the way of my website as well. I want to say thank those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans, Michigan. To Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan, Michigan. And to Bill and Judy Hammond family from Belding, Michigan, I appreciate all your support and thank you so much for what you do. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting our music all last year, and she's doing it again this year, and I'm so pleased to have her doing that. Always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. Our weekend of worship at Shiloh begins Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus in Greenville at the Old Calvary Baptist Church. That's the corner of Grove and Luray Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock. And I'll give you an invitation to attend any one of those services, and we'd be so pleased to have you. Well, our message for today, we're going to face the challenges of 2020. Doesn't that sound different to you? Sounds different to me to say 2020. 2020. I think that's the way I'll say it all year instead of 2020. 2020. If you're thinking of my eyes haven't been that way for a long time. But we're going to talk about getting over the failures and the disappointments of 2019 and moving forward with God and His direction for 2020. I've got a good message I want to share with you because it speaks to my own heart and tells me what I need to do. And those messages that when that happens seem to be the best messages that I can share. Well, there's many people whose lives have been kind of captured by different things other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And they made a song up about that some time ago, and it was called The Chain Gang. And it's kind of a storytelling song. So that's what we're going to begin with this year. We're going to begin with people who have things that's kind of captivated their life and they need some direction and leadership from the Lord Himself. So let's get started, and then I'll be back and share the message with you on this idea of what God has for us to know. God bless each one of you, and I totally mean it from my heart to yours. Happy New Year to you.
When God looked down where the devil reigns, He saw a whole lot of people carrying chains. They were digging up holes with their very own sin. Oh, it's gonna be the the grave the devil puts them in. They were bound by hate, they were bound by greed, they were slaves to the things that they just don't need. Well, Satan got a whole lot of people working on the chain gang.
Working on the chain gang.
Shackled to the world, carrying their guilt and
shame.
But God saw a whole lot of people working on the chain gang.
Working on the chain gang.
So he sent his son, and his son came to break those chains.
Well, there ain't no hope down in this hole. The devil's got a hold and he won't let go. Well, I got tired and threw my shovel down. I fell to my knees there on the ground.
Well, the devil said, son, you belong to me. So I cried to the Lord, would you set me free? I don't want to die, end up in hell.
Forgive me, Lord.
That's when the shackles fell.
That's when the shackles fell.
Got a whole lot of people working on the chain gang.
Working on the chain gang.
Shackled to the world, carrying their guilt and
carrying shame. Carrying their guilt and shame. But God saw a whole lot of people working on the chain gang. So he sent his son, and his son came to break those chains. God sent his son.
To break those chains.
He's gonna 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 break those chains.
Well, I kind of like that song. You're going to break those chains. That's why this one, Jesus, came into the world to be a part of our individual lives and to help us overcome those things that seem to control our life as an individual. What a privilege it is for me to share with you as we start 2020. I'm over here at the lighthouse. We've got this big old ice cube out in front of me. It's about 358 acres. It's a pretty good size ice cube, but I wouldn't want to be on it yet. And there isn't anybody out on it today, and I'm glad for that. It is Wednesday afternoon on New Year's Day that I decided to put the service together. And it's a beautiful sunny day, and it just looks really nice over here. And I'm glad to be at the lighthouse. I'm glad to spend this time sharing these things with you about this brand new year. What a special privilege that we have a brand new year. It's so young. It's so young. It's just 5 days old as you listen to this message. And I'm so glad for what God has done for each one of us. I want to continue this year as long as I can to praying for the needs of my listening audience. You're my congregation this morning. You're the reason I came over here and put this together for you to listen to today. And I'm concerned for what you're going through. And I always had a burden for the congregation when I was a pastor at Shiloh Church. And in those days, we had a morning prayer time, and I remembered the different things and asked for prayer requests if somebody had an unspoken request or whatever. And we would remember their needs. And I've enjoyed this past year carrying that practice over to you folks as I shared a message with you. So you're my listening audience, so I'm going to be praying about you right now. Dear Father, once again, I come into your presence. In behalf of the listening audience, no matter what station they're listening to, I just want to pray for each and every one of them. Whoever hears my voice at this moment, I pray your special blessing would be upon them, upon their family. upon the things they're going through. And as we think about a brand new year, Father, we want to make some progress this year with you and within our family, within our own individual life. We want to be a blessing and we want to receive blessings from you. So I pray for the listening audience, those that's dealing with physical problems, be with them, meet their need according to your will. Those that's dealing with financial problems, those that's dealing with family difficulty, those that's dealing with emotional things they're going through because of all this holiday time. Now, Father, they need to have things get back to their normal schedule. Want to pray for the older ones. Some of them's in the nursing homes or foster care homes. Some of them is homebound in their own home. Some have people with them now that's from some hospice organization because they're going through the dying process. So I just ask your special blessing to be upon each and every one that hears my voice at this moment. Come and honor your word, Father. Speak to our hearts about this new, fresh year that we have. Brand spanking new, just only 5 days old. And Father, we just thank you so much for your love and your care. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, the challenge of 2020, or can I say the challenges of 2020. We've had an opportunity for a fresh start, a brand new beginning. We can leave the past be the past as we move into 2020. Today begins the rest of your life. Today begins the rest of my life. You know what, folks? We need to come to that conclusion that we can't go back and start over. But we can start over with a brand new beginning that will lead to a much better ending. And that's what we want to hang on to this morning. I love this nugget from the Word of God from the Book of Lamentations. I doubt that very many people have read from the Book of Lamentations this morning, but every now and then there's just a little nugget that is in those books that I like to dig out and just enjoy having. It was a different period of time in the nation of Israel's life, and they were going through a lot of difficulty and those kinds of things, and this is what it says. Yet hope returns when I remember this one thing, the Lord's unfailing love and his mercy still continue. They're fresh as the morning, as sure as a sunrise. The Lord is all I have, so I have him for my hope. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him. So it is best for us to wait in patience, for him to save us. And I love this next statement. Older people do like this next statement. And it's best to learn patience in your youth. Sometimes we didn't learn it in our youth, you know. I wasn't a very patient individual in my youth, and I just am so glad that he's telling us, you know, be a good thing if you learn this. And no, if you're not in your youth, it's a good thing you need to learn it for this period of time. You know, that book of Lamentation, that means there's weeping and everything. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of misery that is a part of the sinful and broken world that these people were living in. And I love what it says. Yet hope returns. Hope returns. When I remember this one thing, and this one thing is something I need to remember for 2020, the Lord's unfailing love and mercy. It's unfailing, folks. It's everlasting. It comes to you at all points of your life. This point is offered as a powerful presence of God's faithful care for each one of his children. God really cares, dear people, what you're going through this morning. He's a big God. He knows what I'm going through this morning. He knows what you're going through this morning. I love the word fresh. It's like a fresh start to a day, like a brand new sunrise for that day. Every day is a new beginning, and every day God's mercy is fresh. God's faithfulness is fresh. You don't have to worry about being outdated, folks. You know, sometimes I have to look at my milk jug and see how long's it good for. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God's mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. It's fresh every single morning. You don't have to worry. The other day I was seeing some of the rolls that I had made, and I had kept a few had given many of them to my family, but I kept a few because I like to toast them when I make my homemade bread rolls. Anyway, I was going to have the last one the other day, and I took a look at it, and you know what? It had some green on it. Wasn't fresh anymore. You know what God did in the Old Testament? He gave them manna fresh every morning. God says to you and I today, I want you to know that every day is a brand new beginning. You know, that's the thing that God's wanting for us to get a hold of. His mercy is faithful for today's burdens and for today's blessing. When this promise was given, it was before the coming of the Lord Jesus to do the work of God in providing for us salvation. And all that comes with salvation in the Lord Jesus. I love this verse from the book of 1 Peter to help us bring it more up to date for you and I, so to speak. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Now listen to this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all of your care upon him, knowing that God cares for you. I remember one time when I shared this, I had a picture of a big old dump truck. And the dump truck was tipping up and ready to dump all that was on that truck onto the ground. You know what God's saying to you this morning, what he's saying to me? God cares about you so much. You can dump all your caring right on top of it. On top of him. He cares that much for you. Dump it on him. I'm glad that God gave that warning before he gives the next warning of God's great care for each one of us. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil. And he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeing who he may devour. Resist the devil with steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, after you've suffered for a little while, he says, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and listen to this last one, and settle you. We need some of that in our life, don't we? We sometimes have got so many things running around in our minds and our hearts that we need to hear God say, now, calm down a little bit. I think I've been hearing him say that to me. Now, calm down a little bit. We need to remember every morning to cast our care upon him because he cares for you. We need to know we can do that every morning, because every morning when I wake up, every morning when you wake up, God's faithful love, God's faithful mercy is there for that day. You don't have to work on leftover blessings. You don't have to live today on leftover promises from yesterday. God's saying, no, there's no leftovers. What I'm giving you is fresh. Fresh every day, just like I gave the nation of Israel fresh manna every day. Well, with that thought in mind, what about the challenges of 2020 that's going to come because they're brought about by needs? There's needs that need to be met. There's going to be needs in your everyday life in 2020 that need to be met. And God's promising to help us to meet our needs and so on. but there's going to be needs in other people's lives that maybe you can help meet. There's going to be needs in your life that maybe somebody else, another individual, will help meet. But these needs that you will be called upon to face in 2020, they will be a challenge to you. I love it when Jesus first started his ministry. He was invited to attend a wedding, and his disciples were invited, and his mom was invited too. So they went to this wedding place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited also. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They're out of wine." Jesus said to her, "Why do you come to me? My time has not yet come." His mother told the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." There were 6 stone water jars that were there. They were used for the Jewish purification. Each jar held from 18 to 27 gallons. Now that water was sitting there. From this story, we can learn that Jesus started his ministry. He was faced with needs. His mother's bringing this need to him. He's saying, "What does that have to do with me?" But you know what? In this new year, as you and I start this new year, we're going to find that people need our assistance. We're going to find that we need other people's assistance. It's just a part of the thing that we call life. I love it that Jesus shows us the needs of others should be his concern to us. Jesus heard of the needs from his mother, and he told his mother his time had not yet come. I love it that Jesus' mother said to the servers right away, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." She knew that Jesus could meet that need. I don't know how she knew that Jesus could meet that need, but that's what she's thinking. Do whatever he tells you to do. Think about this new year for just a few moments and ask yourself, am I ready to face the challenges that's going to come my way this year, by needs that's going to be in my life and needs that I'm going to be able to help meet of others? I believe Jesus wants us to meet the needs of others because of our relationship that we have with him. You know what? I think it's so important to realize that as this year's challenges is, that we need to realize that God's got some teaching he wants us to get a hold of. Now, dear people, I realize we're living in a pretty selfish world. We're looking in a world that often thinks of me, myself, and I. Often thinks of they have things coming to them. Entitlement is a big word today. And, you know, I think we need to realize that God gives us a picture of how we're supposed to react as his children. And I got to tell you, folks, when I share this verse with you, it'll be a challenge. It'll be a challenge to see if you want to move outside of yourself. Or do you just want to think of me, myself, and I? When I think of the Lord Jesus, I think he practiced this verse that he's going to tell us. So listen what his teaching was. Let nothing be done through selfishness, selfish ambition, or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Have you ever thought that way? That's a strange way to think. It's so strange because we think of just ourselves and our needs. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's from the book of Philippians. That's God's teaching to Christian people. You got to think about other people. You got to have in your mind that you need to have other people in your life and other people need you in their life. You know, one of the first commandments, and Jesus said it's the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Did you notice? The neighbor was first, and then yourself. We used to teach the kids in Sunday school, Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus, others, and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. With this thought in mind, are you ready for 2020? Because of the needs of others, are you ready to help meet some of those needs? You see, Jesus is faced with a need that they ran out of wine that his brothers brought to his attention, and he's really saying, my time hasn't come yet. I think he's telling us there's a time for us to do things. And maybe this 2020 is a year for you to reach out and meet the needs of others and let others meet your needs as well. So Jesus told the servers, fill the jars with water. The servers filled the jars to the brim. I love that. They filled the jars to the brim. Jesus said to them, pour some of that out and take it to the person in charge. The servers did as they were told. This was obedience. They took and filled those jugs with water to the very top. And then a short time later, Jesus said to them, now take some of it out of one of those jugs and go give it to the server. They might have thought, man, that was just water we put in there. So they poured some out and they took it to the person in charge. The servers did as they were told. The person in charge tasted the water that had become wine. He did not know where it had come from, although the servers who had poured the water knew. The person in charge called the groom and said to him, everyone serves the best wine at first, but when the people have drank some, the host serves cheaper wine. But you save the best wine for now. Cana Galilee was the place where Jesus began to perform miracles. He made his glory public there, and his disciples believed in him. Man, that's the first miracle Jesus did. Don't get all caught up and bent out of shape because it's wine. Just think about what Jesus did and how many people were involved in that first miracle. This is the first miracle of many that's going to take place in the life of the Lord Jesus. You know what I want you to remember instead of just the fact that it's wine? Jesus' mothers told the servers to do whatever he said. And he was going to test their obedience. I love how they responded in obedience and filled the jars even to the very top. This obedience continued on as they poured some of water, and they knew it was water, out and went and took it to the man in charge. And then they heard those words. This is the best ever. Can you imagine what that meant to those servers' lives? To be a part of that miracle? And to also not only in their obedience that they did, but the realization that this was the very best. And it just came from water. How did Jesus do that? Who is this one Jesus? As you and I start out 2020, every day and in every choice we have to make in the day, we'll have the opportunity to either obey or disobey. We'll have the opportunity to do either our very best or just enough to get by. It's going to be up to you. It's going to be up to me. I love the faith of the servers because they had filled the jars with water and they still took some to the person in charge. Can you imagine what that meant into their life? I would like to claim a promise that God has given about this idea of doing our very best. And then we're going to listen to a song. Listen to this promise from the book of Luke. This is when Jesus was preaching his Sermon on the Mount. This is what he said. Give, and it shall be given to you. Now listen to how he says it's coming back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be given to you. But now here's the warning. In the same way you measure it out to others is the way it'll be measured out to you. You say, you know what? 2020, you're in charge. You can give. And the way you give is the way it's going to come back to you as an individual. You know what, folks? I've learned this a long time ago. You never outgive God. God always does his best. But he's asking you and I now to do our very best as we serve one another. Got a song I want us to listen to. You know what? Sometimes people want to make a sacrifice. They say, oh, they're willing to do this or willing to do this and so on. But this song is just going to remind us over and over again, it's better to obey than it is to give sacrifice. God is wanting obedience. He doesn't want sacrifice from your life. Let's listen in.
To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. Well, you pray to prosper and succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. Sundays and Wednesday nights, 'cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have done. According to what you have done.
It is better to obey than sacrifice. God wants us to know that as we start 2020. He wants us to reach out to him every day. He wants us to obey him every day. And he'll lead in our life and he'll direct in our life in such a way to give us the things that we need to do to be a help to others. You know, I think as we move on with our message this morning, I think it's so special to realize that we look back over 2019. We can see some failures and some of those kinds of things, but we're not going to live there. We're not going to dwell there. God has been so faithful to us. When God is talking about the Christian life, he's talking about the idea of something being very special to you. Listen to this verse from 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Did you hear that? God's grace, all of God's grace comes to you. All of the sufficiency of God being able to work in your life. All things you need at all times. So you may abound into every good work. God's purpose of working in my life, God's purpose is working in your life, is to work through our lives. I just love it when God shows us some things that he tries to give us, some things that can help us in our life. I like it when God takes the information you have and you understand, and he expands that information. He takes the relationship that you have and what you understand to that point, and he expands that relationship. He adds increase to your life. And you know, the best way I can see where God's done that for 2020 for me is God is telling us the Christian life is like running a race. And I want to spend the rest of the time I have on that idea. It's running the race. Now, I've run some races in the past when I was a kid, not as an adult. I don't know when the last time you run a race. I like it when people, they run the races in all the cities that they have and so on. I have relatives that do that. I've never done that. And right now, I can remember races I run as a child. I can remember losing. I can remember winning. But you know, God's saying, you're in the race of your life. 2020 is going to be a race for your life. 2020 is going to be the time that you need to understand that I'm going to lead and direct in your life. I want it to be like a race. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, there's so many witnesses surrounding us for examples of faith. The book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter talked about all the things that people did in the Hebrews because of faith in the Old Testament time. But listen to what he says now. He says, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially that sin that seems to distract us, causes us to go on a little detour, so to speak. We must run the race that lies ahead of us, and we must never give up. We must focus on Jesus. He's the source of our goal, and he's the source of our faith. God wants us to realize that all those examples that was given in the Old Testament, that Noah did this by grace, by faith, and Abraham did this, and this happened by faith. But he says, you know what? There's some things that's hindering you to let that work that way in your life. You must get rid of everything that slows us down. How are you going to win the race? Did you never notice the race runners don't have on long trousers and four or five layers of shirt or something? They have on as least as they could possibly have. He's saying, get rid of those things that's going to slow you down a little bit. Then he says, especially that thing that seems to drag your attention. You won't be able to have your attention on the finish line if you're thinking about this or this or this or whatever. And he doesn't name what it is. I think he doesn't name what it is because we all got different things that kind of distract us. He said, you got to get rid of that. And then he says, you know what? You got to have your focus. Your focus has to be on running this race. And your focus has to be on Jesus, who is at the end of the race. And his focus has to be that this is the goal. You want to run to Jesus. I love it when I watch some of the Special Olympics, that as a person is running the race, they've got certain people on the other end that is just waiting to give them a hug at the finish line. I believe that's so beautiful, and I love to watch those races. That's one of my favorite races to watch, is one that has something to do with Special Olympics, as you see them running for all they're worth. And when they get to the finish line, then they get that hug, and they got a big smile on their face. That's pretty special, folks. Jesus is waiting at the finish line. He's waiting for you, and he's waiting for me. You know, this year at Christmas time at our house, we had our manger scene up. And we've had that up now for about 45 years. And you know, when it come Christmas time, it wasn't a white Christmas. There was no snow. There was just the grass and the leaves that I hadn't gathered up yet. You know, on New Year's Day, I went out and we got a bunch of snow, about 4 to 5 inches we got at our house. And I was outdoors and shoveling the sidewalk with my snowblower. And I looked over at the manger scene. And you know, it was covered with snow. So I got my camera from my phone and I took a picture. This is the thought that went through my mind. At the Harger home this year, we didn't have a white Christmas. But how special that we have a fresh, white, clean New Year. That's special. That picture is beautiful to me. My wife said, "You did pretty good. There's not even any footprints up to that manger scene." No, I just wanted to see the clean picture there was. And you know, the more I thought about that, I thought, isn't that the year that God has given to us? A clean, very special, brand new year for each one of us to use for his honor and his glory. 2020. You know what it takes, though, as I think about the racer, somebody running a race? I believe it takes the mindset of a racer. I'd like to keep this thought in my mind as I start this new year. From the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 7 through 8. He's saying, "You were running very well, but who cut in on you? Deflected you from the truth course of obedience. This detour doesn't come from the one who called you into the race in the first place." He's saying, you know what? Sometimes we blame God for things that God didn't do. God called you to run the race. God called you to finish the race. Who bumped into you? Caused you to lose your stride? Who bumped into you? Don't know. When I think about this, I think about them running around the circle where there's lines and each one is supposed to stay in their own line. But who touched you? And that touch broke your stride. The mindset of one running the race must be that there are those who might cut in order to make you stumble or even get you off pace. We must remind that God, who called us to race, will never do that to us. He wants us to finish what we're started. There is a powerful word as we start to run the race of this year that will hinder us a lot. And we need to avoid as much as possible this word. And you know what that word is? Detour. Detour. There are some things you were going to accomplish last year, 2019. And instead, you took a detour. There's some changes you wanted to make in your life, 2019. Instead, you took a detour. You know what God's saying? For 2020, take as few detours as possible. Those detours get you into trouble. Those detours break stride in your race that you're running. And you know what he's saying to you? I want you to know that I'm the one that called you to the race. And I'll never do anything that's going to hinder you in following through with the race. I won't give you detours. That won't be a part of my relationship with you. I love it. There was an older man in the Bible by name of the Apostle Paul. He was sharing with a young man that I think he led to the Lord Jesus. His name was Timothy, and he was now in the ministry also. And the Apostle Paul, when he got down, when he was writing to him one day, he says, "You know what, Timothy? This is what I want you to know. This is something worth hanging on to," I think he's saying. "This is something that as your youth you need. This is something at the fresh start of a new year that you need to hear. I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing." That's from the book of 2 Timothy. You know what he's saying, young man? He's saying, young man, you keep on running. You fight a good fight. You finish the race. You keep the faith. That's a challenge for 2020 for me. That's a challenge for 2020 for you. Fight a good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. That's what God wants. It's not good enough just to have a good start. Even though a good start is all right, God wants us to finish the race. God wants us to cross the finish line, receive the prize, and not just run the race for finish, but finish the race. I love God's teaching about the Son. There's a lot in the Bible about the sun, S-U-N. I got some beautiful pictures of sun rise, some beautiful pictures of sunset. When I was hunting, I would go deer hunting. I'd like to go out long before the sun would rise. And I'd like to watch the sun as it would rise the beginning of a day. Brand new. Listen to what God says. In the book of Psalms 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day it utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." This sun and this heavens is teaching us. There is no speech or no language where this voice is not heard. This sun and these stars and the moon, he says, they're teaching us no matter where we live on planet Earth. "And their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun." The sun is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. And then the one that I really love, the sun is like a strong man rejoicing and ready to run the race. You ever think of that? When the sun begins to rise, it's like a strong man. It's saying, "I'm ready for this day. I'm here to perform this day. I'm here to do what I've done every day. But I'm here to do it with a fresh start. I'm here to do it in a new way. With strong determination that I've never had before." That sun does that every morning. And rejoices like a strong man to run the race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end. And there's nothing hidden from the heat of the sun. God sends a message to us. That S-U-N is his eternal messenger. And he's speaking out to you and he's speaking out to me and saying, "I want you to know that sun does this every day." Now you might say to me, "Now in Michigan, we don't get to see the sun a lot." Somebody's asking me, "We're not going to Florida this year. We're going to be staying home, turning up our thermostat and using my electric snowblower. My electric start snowblower." But you know something? When we was in Florida, we had a lot of sun. It wasn't sunny every day, but there was a lot of sun. I need to tell you one of my little memories that I have of Florida, which I'll probably even think more about this year. You know, when my wife and I celebrated our 50th anniversary, we bought ourselves a PT Cruiser convertible. And when I bought that, and then the first year we went to, who the person I bought it from never took it to Florida. And I told them after I signed the papers, I said, now this year, this PT Cruiser is going to Florida. And it went 11 years. And every winter in February, we'd have the top down. And that was special. And you know, one time when I had the top down and I was filling with the gas, a gentleman on the other way was filling his gas straight across from me. And he kept looking at me, so I thought, well, I must need know who this individual is. And pretty soon he came over and he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, what part of Michigan are you from? I said, what makes you think I'm from Michigan? You couldn't see my driver, my license plate. He said, you're the only people to come down here and it's 65 degrees and you got the top down. I said to him, you know what? Something you don't know. If I was back home, I'd have to have my heater on. I turned my heater on the vents. I turned the heat on as high as it can go. And we're driving down the road, and that wind coming in our face is about 85 degrees. You know I'm going to miss that this year. But let me wrap up this message with this way. Do you know the scripture says that in a race all run, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? You know what God's saying to us, 2020? Run the race of 2020 in such a way as to get the prize. I believe that's a good challenge for you this morning. I believe that's a good challenge for me. Listen to the next challenge. Everyone who competes in games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But you and I do it to get a crown that's going to last forever. God's saying, you know what? Got to have some training in your life. Got to have some training. Got to realize that when you cross the finish line, it's going to be a crown, and that crown's going to be a beautiful thing for you to have in your life in eternity. Let me give you one more. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. You know what he's saying? I'm running for the finish line. I'm going to keep doing that. Now, at my age, I like a verse in Isaiah 40 which says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. I can't think, folks, there's anything better for us as we begin 2020 to say we want to cross the finish line. And I got to tell you, folks, what I'm looking forward to is to get a hug from the Lord Jesus and him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I got us a song I want us to listen to. And this song is reminding us, crown of glory, all of yours.
To Timothy, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure now is at hand. I have fought a good fight. My course is now finished. A crown now is waiting when before God I stand. There is laid up for me a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me
in
heaven a mansion.
That is
where I shall live eternally. Peter said, I've got an inheritance waiting. It's incorruptible and fades not away. I am kept by God's power through faith unto salvation. It now is awaiting to be rebuilt someday.
There is
laid up for me a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me up in heaven a mansion.
That is
where I shall live eternally.
There is
laid up for me a crown of bright glory.
That is
why I must run this race faithfully.
There is
reserved for me
up
in heaven.